Would you pray with me, please? Holy God, we confess our lack of trust in you. May the truth of your word, O God, purify our hearts and minds. Grant us grace to hear you speak to us and to respond with joy, obedience, and faith. For the sake of Christ, we pray. Amen. To come clean, of saying to fess up, right? Or to tell all. Coming clean is a way of taking ownership and responsibilities for our own misdeeds, right? One hopes that there are not too many times when it is necessary to come clean. Why live in such a way in which you're always having to fess up? But when many of us were kids, coming clean was a common occurrence. A version of it happened just before arriving at the dinner table. Did you wash your hands? As kids, many of us heard that question all the time. It detoured us as we were on the way to the table. Oh, yeah. Got to head to the restroom to wash our hands and get on the way to dinner. We were, in a real sense there, coming clean. It's an even more important question today, though, living as we do, in this overcrowded, disease-ridden world. Public health experts are forever teaching that one of the best disease prevention techniques that you can do is also the simplest, the one mom insisted on. Good old soap and water does the trick, as long as we devote the proper time and attention to the task. Remember, don't forget the back of your hands, right? One old guideline, as I told Mason, suggests that we ought to take as much time washing our hands as it takes to recite the 23rd Psalm. 30 seconds or so that it takes to say that psalm at an ordinary conversational pace is about the time that health experts recommend for a pre-meal hand washing. And a bonus for Christians is that that psalm technique allows us the time in this routine to use as a devotional moment. Wouldn't hurt us to say that every time we washed our hands, would it? A frequent sight at the entrances to hospitals and schools and other public buildings is that antibacterial hand wash dispenser as you're entering, right? It's still not as effective as good old scrubbing, but it's better than nothing. And if you're unfortunate enough that I have to visit you in the hospital, you'll see that when I enter your room, I stick my hand under there and I, you know, do this thing. And then when I leave your room, I do the same thing, because whatever I don't want to pass on when I get outside. Don't be offended. Quite apart from keeping ourselves healthy, hand washing keeps others healthy as well. As many well-intentioned, but I believe ill-informed parents who skipped their kids' vaccinations learned during measles and mumps and chickenpox, our personal disease prevention decisions aren't as personal as we'd like to think. They have implications for our neighbors. We live in an interconnected world where no one of us is an island, and certainly bacteria and viruses don't behave as though we are. Our hands are the principal means for sharing our bugs with others, even though we don't intend to do so. Even churches are getting into the hand-washing act. You may remember that last winter, when many, many in this congregation were dealing with the flu, we instituted the elbow bump and the fist bump during our greeting time, instead of handshakes, because it's so easy to spread those bugs at that time. Well, some churches have even gone to the practice of having small bottles of hand sanitizers in those pockets in front of where you're sitting so that they can greet people and then quickly use the sanitizer to protect themselves and others. And while all of this may sound like something new, a consequence of our heightened awareness of contagious diseases, hand washing before worship is actually an ancient practice. In our psalm for today, God was asking the same question long before Mom was. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in this holy place? Only those who have clean hands and pure hearts. The Lord's hill, of course, is Mount Zion, the location of the temple. It's holy because the Lord chose it to be so, as the Lord is certainly entitled to do, being the sole proprietor of heaven and earth, right? Many Christian worship traditions include that confession of sin in the early part of the service. Well, that's really a spiritual hand washing. When approached soberly and seriously, such a prayer is an act of purification. The last vestige for many of us of the ancient purification rites that the psalmist knew so well. It leads not only to clean hands, but also to a clean heart. What does it mean to seek purity of heart? Danish theologian Soren Kierkegaard said in the title of his famous essay, "It is to will one thing." How difficult that is for people like us, when we're buffeted to and fro by the demands of a wireless, multitasking world, to will one will. Yet, is there any alternative? Christian devotional practices, like the contemplative practices of nearly all the world's great religions, are, for the most part, incompatible with multitasking. In our prayers, in our contemplation, the goal is to will one thing, to achieve communion, however fleeting, with the divine. The chime of an incoming email, the tyranny of a to-do list blaring with its urgency, the obsessive desire to check back on Facebook to see how many likes we've garnered, they're all enemies of spiritual centeredness. Pure-hearted worship strives to will one thing, and that thing is praise for the Almighty. The next line of the psalm shifts our focus to another aspect of moral purity. Those who are able to stand with confidence and integrity in Yahweh, or in God's holy place, are those who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. Literally, the Hebrew means who do not lift up their souls to emptiness. It's a word used elsewhere to refer to the worship of idols, with the implication that idolatry offers only deceptive rewards. Surely there are abundant examples of idolatrous worship, of people in our culture lifting up their souls to emptiness, as the psalmist writes. So many of the golden prizes that we frantically seek to achieve our own salvation, namely money and fame, are in fact emptiness. The name of that television show, American Idol, is more truthful than its creators probably understand. Right worship is not like that. Right worship is truthful to its core and single-minded in its devotion to the one true God. Those who approach the holy places with clean hands and pure hearts, those who worship with integrity, are promised a remarkable benefit. They will receive God's blessing and vindication. What must they do to receive such rewards? They need only seek the face of the God of Jacob. That's easier said than done. Seeking God's face is a bold enterprise, according to the Old Testament. Not even Moses was permitted to view the glorious countenance of the Almighty. You may remember the story where Moses, the man chosen as God's own messenger, is allowed from the protective shelter of a cleft in the rock. Only the most fleeting glimpse of the divine glory as God passes by. That's because, as the Lord graciously warned Moses, no one can see me and live. But that doesn't stop earnest worshipers from trying, does it? We still yearn to look upon God's face. We seek the very blessing that not even Moses was permitted to receive. Granted, the psalmist never promises that we will succeed in our quest, even though he does seem convinced that true, pure worshipers will never cease their efforts to do so. Jesus makes some even bolder promises in the Beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Cleanliness and purity obviously have a great deal to do with it. Of all the blessed believers, Jesus mentions it, only the pure in heart are granted a vision of the Almighty. And who are these pure in heart of whom Jesus speaks? He doesn't say. It doesn't seem, though, to have the least bit to do with sanitizer gel, nor indeed with anything else that we can do to justify ourselves by our own efforts. And it has everything to do with Jesus, and who Jesus is, and what Jesus does for us, individually, and for all of us. Our hands are not clean, but Jesus makes them clean. Our hearts are not pure, but Jesus washes them. Our attention wanders, but with infinite gentleness, Jesus calls us back. So let's come clean. It is Jesus whom we seek. And by sheer grace, we are bold to claim that we will one day see him face to face with clean hands and a pure heart. May it indeed be so. Alleluia. Amen. And now, if you would stand and sing from the insert.